from ComedyFilmNerds.com with Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
It's a light blue.
Oh, hey, welcome to the show. I had to jump in there to start the show because these two guys are going to talk about stain for a long time in Chris's garage. Yeah. It's going to be an exciting show.
We should clarify wood stain.
Wood stain. Yeah. This is comedywoodstainnerds.com.
Well, Chris was forced into that stain conversation.
Yeah. You definitely dragged him into it. You definitely dragged him in. Okay, I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini.
Welcome, episode 42.
42, the exciting answer to the life, the universe, and everything.
Sure, buddy.
Yeah, Douglas Adams.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Look at you. Nice. Little covert nerd.
Yep.
Riff.
Little stealth nerd.
Stealth nerd.
You said that's right, but I had no idea. I had no idea where the reference came from. Did you really, or did you just say, oh?
I just said that's, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I'm lying. This whole show is a lie. It's a fabrication. Folks, you've heard his voice already. We'd like to welcome into the nerd headquarters, Al Madrigal, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm here. And
awesome.
I'm here. Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't walked out and discussed yet. That's good.
Isn't bullshit yet.
Yeah.
So, my friend, tell our audience who does not know who you are, what you do, what you've been on, where they can see you. This
stand-up comedian. Started in San Francisco and
at the Punchline.
At the San Francisco Punchline. Mm-hmm. That was my home between Cobbs and the Punchline when they were a separate entity. Now they've sort of joined forces through the Live Nation banner.
Al and I are both wearing our Punchline t-shirts.
Yeah, the nice. San Francisco Punchline would put out a t-shirt every year, and Graham, when we're both sporting different years, I'm rocking a 2007, I think.
That's an 06 you got.
06.
I got an 08. And so, we just did shows together in December.
Yes,
when I was there with Doug.
Doug Benson interruption. Mm-hmm. And the Benson interruption. I added Doug in, but it was at the Punchline. And very good high, Doug, very quick, because I'd never really seen that show. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what it was going to be like, and just so baked all the time.
Yeah.
I know that. I mean, I've hung out with him. We were at the High Times comedy tour together, and that's actually the story he told on stage.
Yeah, where you choked some guy.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We were at the High Times show, the most mellow comics that you could possibly imagine.
And
really,
you went for a throat.
And I went for a throat choke on some audience member, but I warned him I was going to do it. What happened was, you know, I can tell the story real quick, and then we can jump in, because this is good for me to start talking, because I haven't seen Harley. Any of these movies. Well, it was a story that we really sort of, I'd never really told before, and I wanted to keep this under wraps because Doug, myself, and Jay Phillips, African American comic, just the most three most mellow guys you could possibly. We're on the High Times comedy tour. Mm-hmm. We're going around. They put us in Detroit at a rock venue. People are standing up. People didn't know what they were seeing, and they came out. People came out, and they were really talking quite a bit. So I forced out 20 minutes, and then just interrupted constantly by these audience members. And a guy is talking in front really loudly to his friend. I got 5 minutes left. And I look down and I go, "Guy, you got to shut up." And he goes, "Just do your show. Give me one of those.
Oh.
Just tell some jokes." Isn't that the worst guy?
He just waved you off.
I'm doing the waving motion. Just tell your
joke.
And I've had a Russian mobster guy do that. "Just tell your jokes, guy." Same thing. Furious. But this guy looks like I could really kick his fucking ass.
And he doesn't have any mob ties.
No mob ties. With the Russian, I did yell at him. But this guy, I said, "Hey, asshole, you shut the fuck up. Or I'm going to come down there and I'm going to kick your ass." And I was so furious. And then he kept talking. And Doug told the story. But I put the mic, just to, like, said, "Thank you, good night." Put the mic, beelined right for the guy, grabbed him, dragged him into the adjacent pool hall, and proceeded to choke me. I choked him until the bouncers pulled me off him. So that's the story that was told at the Benson interruption in San Francisco.
That
but that, I mean, also, we never really have met. And certainly, Chris, I've heard your name a million times. And
yeah, me too.
You sort of meeting. You've heard Chris Mancini.
Yes.
You are calling me it.
Every time someone talks to you about me, I hear it. It's so weird. Yeah.
That's peculiar.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's nice to be on the show, and
we're happy to have you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, we ran into each other actually in
Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And we were just talking. Geechee Guy does this thing on Friday nights at the Hooters there.
Yes, like the Dirty Jokes Show.
The Dirty Jokes Show. Mm-hmm. And then all the comics just hang out, and anyone who's working in town hangs out.
Was not prepared how strange Geechee Guy would look. was not completely caught off guard by the how strange Geechee.
You should have seen him 10 years ago.
Really?
The strange has actually mellowed a little.
Oh yeah, that was a whole big thing of his act. I mean, I don't. There's no way that's his real name. So he's obviously.
Sure. That sounds weird, Geechee Guy. Yeah. But if you want to Google image Geechee Guy and zoom in, maybe you can zoom in on the face area. He's an odd-looking fellow. That's all. So anyway, we met there.
Yeah. We were talking about, we were trading.
Next to Geechee Guy's face. That's where we met.
That's where we met. And we Googled it and had a good time. No, you were working at the Palms. I was working at Harrah's.
Someone mentioned me. I woke up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you woke up in the middle of the night, texted me and said, who's talking about me? Put that guy in the show. Yeah. He's mentioning my name. And that's how it happened. Chris's weird mental telepathy.
Yeah.
So let's do some shout-outs first before we get into it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? One of the things I want to shout-out is more the store. The short film problem is solved.
Fixed.
Yeah,
solved.
So you can now download short films again.
Outstanding. I want to give shout-outs. I was in Barstow a couple nights ago with Doug, and a lot of film nerd fans in Barstow.
Excellent.
At Rosita's Mexican restaurant, in the ballroom connected to the side of a Mexican restaurant. And this is why I say this, because the show was a blast. The fans were great. And the show was put together by these just young comics that got a hold of Doug, wanted him to come do the show. And they were like, yeah. And they found out I was on the show. And like, this will be great. And they promoted it. And it was a great turnout. So anybody out there, if you're in some small town and you're at least 2-hour drive from any kind of an airport and you can find a venue and promote it, and it makes sense for us financially to come do it, we'll do a show.
Yeah,
Chris
we'll
and I
be
will
there.
Be there, mm-hmm. man. Like, we did shows like this in Oklahoma City. And any the small-town crowds, people are like, you don't really mean that. No, the small-town crowds are great.
Yep.
They're great because they're just like...
You don't know how seriously we do mean it.
No, I mean, honestly, like, they are like... They
300
don't get,
people will be there.
Well, I mean, 200.
Yeah,
we had 200,
200
people in Barstow, and it was a blast, man. Mm-hmm. So wherever you live, if you know somebody... I mean, it doesn't.
Or if you just have a big family.
What was the ticket price?
I think it was $20.
It's $20, 200 people, totally works.
Yeah,
for a one nighter, just to go pop out, and it's a Paul F. Tompkins
model.
Yeah, yeah,
it's great.
Mm-hmm. If you fix it up and set it up, people will come.
Yeah. Obviously, if it's near Los Angeles, we can drive. That's great. But if we have to get on a plane, it's still doable if the numbers add up. Like
sure.
So think about it, folks. I mean, these guys just found a venue.
And, you know, once Graham gets on a plane, there's a coconut water budget.
Yeah, you got to pay for my coconut water because I get dehydrated. Yeah. So that's we wanted to put that out there, man. Anyone out there listening,
sure.
Chris and I will come to wherever. And if Al's in town, he'll pop in.
Yeah. And, oh, and thanks to all the people that came out in Lake Tahoe last week. It was really good. We had some good shows out there as well. Should we get into it?
It's going to start out.
I don't want it to get ugly, but I'm afraid it's going to have to. We're going to have to talk about Green Hornet. Now, let me start by saying that I was the one holdout last week saying, you know what? These trailers look so horrible.
Bad.
Maybe we're missing it. Maybe this actually is kind of going to be like a kick ass and it's actually going to be a really
you
good movie.
You and Brian Posehn both were could be all right.
Now, I just want to start off by saying I was completely wrong. I was completely wrong. This movie was so bad. It got me angry.
Oh,
you want to start?
I had a Michael Bay type reaction. You know what I mean? Like I
just flipped out. Yeah.
I you know, you don't know this, but I loathe Michael Bay and everything he stands for.
Sure.
And I've gone on rants on this show where audience members have come up to me when they see me live and had me write "I love Michael Bay" on their on the CD that they
to punish you.
To punish me.
Sure.
I I've always thought, well, I think Seth Rogen's funny. You know what I mean? In sort of a sidekicky way.
Background, begged for the role. Worked out for it. This is not a thing where he really wanted to do this and really had to lobby to do it. So
there's no question. Yeah, when you see it.
He wrote it.
He wrote it. Executive producer. This was his vision. And it was a piece of shit.
Yeah, your vision sucks, Seth. Let me tell you that right now. Don't lobby to do this anymore. Yeah. Play the nerdy buddy. Don't be the lead.
We're talking about, you know, after watching this movie, well, maybe Rowan Atkinson can play Superman.
Oh, fuck. You know, this is what drives me nuts about the movie industry, is this can happen. You know what I mean? If I go, you know what? I want to be the quarterback for the Chicago Bears. I don't get to do it because I do not have the ability. That's the wonderful thing about sports. You cannot. No one here can play in the NBA.
Sure, it takes physical ability to be in the NBA.
And maybe a little practice.
And maybe some practice. Seth Rogen sucks.
M. Night Shyamalan was saying that he actually could play in the NBA. Did you hear about that?
Oh, he's out of his mind.
Yeah, he's a lunatic. Just as a side note, I don't want to go too much far on his tangent, but was saying that he could shoot, be in like some three-point competition, or he could be a three-point, like, just a master if he put his mind to it and practiced.
Of course. He wasn't saying it ironically either.
No, this is what Hollywood does. You're surrounded by people telling you, when you get famous, telling you how great you are. They're all, whether they're, you know, anything you do is amazing. It's great. And that's what, and you go, yeah, I could play in the NBA. I'm crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm nuts. You know what I mean?
Played in high school. So,
yeah. I played high school football.
I own a basketball.
Yeah, I'm really good at the NBA on Xbox. Yeah. So, and that's what Seth Rogen said. But he thought
Michael Gondry already distanced himself from this movie.
He directed it,
but he said it wasn't really his movie.
No, it's Seth Rogen.
It's Seth Rogen's movie.
I've never watched a superhero movie where I was like thinking about the actor playing the hero, going, A, shut the fuck up. And B, I hope he dies. Like, I've never thought that. Like, he was so annoying. And you can tell when I saw that he wrote it, I was like, oh, he just sat and he just thought, this is great. And all of his lackey buddies and agents or whatever, I went, you're a genius. You're so comedically funny. And no, you're not, Seth. And your mouth is fucking stupid. And I can't understand what you're saying. And I got to give a great shout out to Ralphie May. I don't know if you guys know the story, but after Funny People came out, the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood put a photo of Seth Rogen up. So there's photos of Jerry Seinfeld and current comics, you know, that are successful, friends of ours.
Sarah Silverman,
yeah, Brian Posehn. And
sure, there's a couple.
There's a couple you could kind of go. Well, I don't know that they're that big, but then,
I'm up by the bathroom.
By the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm up. If you walk, you got to go to the men's room. Don't go too fast.
Don't go.
You go to the women's room. You're coming up short. Yeah, so you got to go to the men's room. There's no reason if you're a female to go past me at all. But I'm up.
See,
anyway, so
you're a working professional comic. So after Funny People, they put Seth Rogen's photo up. Ralphie May. Was maybe had a couple pops in him, saw the photo, was enraged, ripped it down. Amen, Ralphie May.
Stayed down?
They put it back up. They did not. They have not put it back up. Because Ralphie May like went crazy, went, he's not a fucking comic. Just because he played one in a movie, get him the fuck. Like, he went nuts.
Yeah.
And
they didn't put Tom Hanks' picture up.
No. You know what I mean? Like
Sally Field.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's the same thing. They might as well. You're right. I mean, and I've met Ralphie once, but yes, good job, Ralphie.
Good job, Ralphie. If you're listening, amen to you. And this movie,
let's break down this movie a little bit. The problem is, it's so hard because there's so many things wrong with it. It's hard to know where to begin. Let's start with the 3D.
Do you mind also if I've just like most people have just seen the commercial, and so what you have is a very wealthy son in Seth Rogen that is heir to this large fortune. Mm-hmm. The father, he's a party animal. He's throwing stuff out of the chairs out of the standard.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. He's big partying. Crack open a couple more bottles, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm getting loose. Mm-hmm. All right? No responsibility, has never lived up to his potential, but his father passes away mysteriously. And I didn't even know the mysteriously part, but I'm sure that's
where you can figure it out.
Yeah, there's not much to figure out. And then he goes and discovers this Asian guy. What is he? Is he Japanese? Chinese. And they start fighting crime, but they start from the inside. They pretend to be bad guys.
That sounds
more interesting.
Yeah, that's a much better movie. Here's what the pitch of this movie was. We're going to take an iconic character like Green Hornet and make him annoying and impotent. Yeah. And that's pretty much what they did with the
Seth
character.
Rogen said. Yeah. And honestly, it was like we were saying last week about Country Strong, which we'll talk about. It just felt like some Hollywood going, I want to make this. I'm a famous. I'm a good. I want to make it. But I don't think you're right. I want to do it.
Yeah, for $100 million, too. It's not like, you know, these are the types of movies you want to see for under $5 million. Hey, you know what? They took a shot.
Yes.
No problem. No, you know, this movie would have been less shitty if it didn't have the Green Hornet franchise on it. If it was like kind of like a Kick-Ass kind of thing where this Playboy guy kind of, you know, wanted to become a superhero. Like, because this movie has the same idea as Kick-Ass. An average guy who is kind of out of his mind that wants to become a superhero. But the problem with Seth Rogen is Seth Rogen is playing Seth Rogen through the entire movie. There's no arc in this character. He's the annoying douchebag, which is funny in movies like Observe and Report because he's mentally unstable.
Sure.
And very, very, and that movie is really funny because you're looking at this guy, he's likable and he's out of his mind, and he has a charm.
Did he write
it? He did not. Jody Hill took control of that
movie. Observe and Report, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Great movie. Mm-hmm. Great movie. And Seth Rogen's great in it too, but then you let Seth Rogen do whatever he wants, and you have Green Hornet, which is an absolute mess. It's like, was it a comedy? Is it an action? No, it's nothing. It's pieces of nothing put together to make a mishmash.
He thinks he's so funny. Like, I was like, yeah, Seth Rogen's funny, and this movie made me hate him. Like, it was just like, shut up. A couple of cool action sequences that they did.
From The Matrix. Yeah, they were cool.
Yeah, they were cool. A couple of Matrix
scenes. They did the bullet time kind of stuff. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I've seen that before.
And then they actually get into an argument, Matrix, Seth Rogen and Kato, and Seth Rogen kind of wins the fight. After they've shown Kato bump like 10 dudes at once.
I know.
And then fat, stupid Rogen, no, kick his ass. Like,
Here's the best way to describe this film. If you take Kick-Ass,
I wish we had a camera, by the way, because Al just looks like really like
no, way I'm going to see this movie. Like,
no, I'm not. It's
you
horrible.
Look hurt and sad that we're.
If you take Kick-Ass, take everything that was cool about Kick-Ass, and do the opposite. Yeah. You pretty much have Green Hornet, because everything that made Kick-Ass cool, like, you know, him getting his ass kicked every time in the fights, the guy, you know, anything that's cool. Like, Nicolas Cage was cool in that movie.
Sure.
And it was more, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it was more believable. It was like, it had the interesting backstory. It had the character arcs. It had all the stuff you expect from a superhero in a comic book movie. Green Hornet had none of those things. There were no arcs. There was no character development. And in fact, even the editing was bad. Wow. At the beginning, everything's rushed. Like, okay, we need a scene to show the bad guy being bad. Okay, we need a scene to show Seth Rogen not getting the love from his father. Okay, we need this scene. Okay, just put them all together real quick. And then we'll go from there. It was... At that point, it was like everything was bad from the writing, directing, to the editing. And I'm like, this movie is just a mess.
And it was impossible. There was no, I could not find a 2D version of it in any theater near
me. No, that was the other thing that drove me crazy.
So I had to pay $15.75 twice for me and my wife. Seth Rogen is so fucking lucky I didn't find him after the movie, because I would have knocked him out for the $31.50 that he owes me.
Well, or you could have had Al choke him.
Yeah.
I'd give him one warning. And then I would have come down there. You know what people do say? I'm going to kick your ass. Don't follow up.
Yeah,
just really.
You got to take it seriously. If somebody says, if a stranger says that to you, even if they're on stage, if a stranger says, "I'm going to kick your ass," you got to kind of take it a little seriously.
Now let's talk about box office. How is it done? How is do we know about that?
I think 30, something like that. It did okay. And here's the thing about this movie: it's had a big curiosity factor. So it's going to have a decent opening. It's going to drop off like a
dramatically,
cliff. Yeah, because next week for word of mouth.
Word of mouth is horrible. And it's also not one of those films that I would take. I feel like the ones that really, really do well are, you know, you have a Toy Story 3, something where, and you have kids now, where I can go with my kids and you just get everyone going to go see it.
Whenever you make a kids movie, that's an instant two tickets.
Yep.
Because you've got a kid and a parent.
Sure.
Yeah, it did. It won the weekend. I mean, which isn't saying much because it's January. It did $34 million.
Right.
You know,
it's not too shabby. It's not huge.
No.
But
it had
not
one 3D
shabby.
Effect in it. At the end, the logo came out of the screen.
I'm done.
That
I'm
was
done
it.
With 3D. I am not seeing another 3D. I'm done with it. It's bullshit.
This was amazing because this one was so non-3D. It was almost like. It wasn't even tacked on. It was a non-3D 3D movie. It made me think of what James Cameron said, where every movie is going to be in 3D, and it's completely unnecessary. It's like, all right, I'm just watching a movie that happens to be in 3D, and there's no reason.
And guests and prior guests have said on the show, the 3D, it's right now, we're outside in 3D. Your life, is you can see it in 3D.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Like, oh God, it was so, God, that movie made me so mad.
Little quick little 3D tangent. I did recently did a stand-up comedy show in 3D that was filmed in 3D for the DirecTV channel, the 101 channel.
Right.
Jamie Masada's body, we're going to do comedy in 3D, buddy. You got it. It's next thing. You're going to come check it out.
Did you now? Did you change your set because you knew you were going to be in 3D?
Yeah. Did you just throw stuff?
I just jut out occasionally and just I run forward. I'm coming at you.
You're just like diving after every bit.
Really aggressive hand gestures.
You had paddle ball.
It's ridiculous.
There's one guy that's going to have a flashback if you go like this. Yeah. Just put your hands out in front of him. It's going to choke him.
He's in a straitjacket already. You can't humiliate it.
I see him. It's happening again.
So, Green Hornet, piece of shit.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know what made me so mad was I knew it was a piece of shit from the very first trailer that I saw. And I'm a little angry at you and Brian Posehn for what you said in last week's episode, for making me go, you know what, maybe it's going to be.
But I gave it the benefit of the doubt. I really did. I went in with an open mind.
You're in a position now where you're sort of seeing everything.
We're trying to see as much as we can.
You're going
to
see a lot of crap out there, which is amazing to me still because of all the money being spent. You'd think and that there'd be a better filtration process.
Not only with less movies being made and with more money being spent on these movies, it's fascinating that these types of crappy movies are still coming out.
It's
the opposite of what a business should be doing. If you're downsizing, pay attention to the quality of the fewer movies that you're putting out.
I implore everybody listening to this to stop going to 3D movies. Like, don't do it.
Factor also was Tangled in 3D? No.
Yes.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. But you had a choice.
Exactly. Yeah. You didn't have that choice.
Yeah, we didn't see Tangled in 3D, and it was fine. Oof.
Tangled was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was
Your Dragon was good 3D.
Yeah, that was good 3D.
You know?
That kids' movies, then you're going to make the exception.
That were made in a computer.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. There you go. That's the exception to your rule.
What's better in 3D? A dragon coming at you or Seth Rogen telling a joke?
Oh, God. Fucking mush mouth.
Pineapple Express. Fantastic. I really did enjoy that. I like that movie.
Sure. Sidekicky guy. He didn't write it. Don't ever write anything again, Seth.
Is Danny McBride or Green Punch Hornet?
No.
He's not, but James Franco is like in a scene in the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A little cameo. A lot of cameos in that movie, too. A lot of stars. So
people are coming out because he's very popular. And that's another thing. That's probably what he promised when he said, I will produce this movie and there's going to be cameos coming out your ass. Like, I'm going to have all my friends in it. Cameron Diaz, how was she? She needs to go away as far as I'm concerned.
You couldn't get Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, if you can't get Gwyneth Paltrow, you get Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, she was an Iron Man. Okay, well, we'll get the other one. I'm sure that's what they say in the casting sessions. Get the other one.
Get the other one. Whatever. Let's move forward.
Okay.
The dilemma. You know, I guess I should have seen this. I was on the fence. Like, do I see?
Yeah,
the...
you should have seen that one because Ron Howard directed it, and I won't go see that movie. Somebody tweeted that Ron Howard directed The Dilemma. Who does he owe money to? And I tweeted back, every moviegoer in America.
I don't have such a seething disdain for Ron Howard, which is probably why I avoided this movie because I didn't want to start to get it.
What is The Dilemma?
That's the Vince Vaughn.
No. But what is The Dilemma in The Dilemma? What is, I know that's Kevin James, Vince Vaughn, Ron Howard in Chicago. A lot of hockey clips where they're Blackhawks fans.
That's it. That's what it is.
They shot it all when Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup last year.
One guy sees the other guy's wife cheating and is not sure if he's going to tell him.
Kevin James's wife is having an affair and Vince Vaughn sees it. And then inexplicably falls into poisonous plants, which there's no reason for that to happen.
Now, take that explanation and stretch it to 90 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I was I was working on a pilot last year. With Ron Howard. I swear I was.
Really?
Yeah. So
I was kidding. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I saw this. It was, he was around. It was for Imagine Entertainment, which is his company with Brian Grazer. And so they were planning this movie. While I was shooting, so I would go to their office and see all the actresses and people coming in and out for this movie. So he was auditioning people. And you should have seen it. He had Christina Hendricks. was on the couch at one point. So I walked in. You know who that is? The very buxom.
From Mad Men, right?
From Mad Men. Mm-hmm. She's on the couch, and I walk in there. And I just, you know, because usually you'll see hot chicks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people that work in these offices are, you know, super hot chicks. And so, and I'm married for 12 years and super creepy. So I'm looking like, hey, ladies. Yeah. It's like my strip club.
I've been on Comedy Central.
It's my strip club.
I look over.
Ron Howard's office is Al Madrigal's strip club.
Yeah, it's true. I look over and Mila Jojovich. Yeah, she's there.
Mm-hmm. She's beautiful.
I love them Resident Evils. I can see. I watch those. I'll watch the shit out of a Resident Evil.
You know what? It sounds like we hate movies this episode, but I love Resident Evil 4. I thought it was great.
I know. Yeah. I see all those. She's
I just watched a couple. I was on a plane, and I had choices, and I stuck it on a Resident Evil. Nice. I hadn't seen this one. Right. Anyway, so I walk in there. It's just, I mean, he had people coming to him, and he has his choice of any actress that he wants to work with, because Ron Howard has consistently put out these great
crappy movies.
I like it. This is our Chris and I have a thing. He really likes Peter Jackson. I can't stand him. I like Ron Howard. He can't stand Ron.
What's
Howard.
Not to like about Peter Jackson?
Ah, hello. We're having Al on more often.
Man.
It's just comedy film nerds.
Just because it's Chris's garage.
No, but comedy film nerds would lead me to believe that we're on board with Peter Jackson.
You would think, sure.
Yeah. Chris is. I'm not. That's I know I'm dilemma. Committing nerd treason when I say I hated the Lord of the Rings movies.
But just watch Apollo 13 again.
But
the most boring out of space movie ever.
But the out of space movie. We have run out of space. Ron Howard ran out of space.
The first two movies. No, it's okay. The Green Hornet. The dilemma when looking at these two films, I was like, clearly, me and my wife, because that's another thing with kids.
You don't have that time.
I don't have and the money to get a babysitter and then to go out and then
it's a huge production.
If you would have seen the Green Hornet, it would have cost you guys $1,500.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would have been extra angry.
But I'm just saying, these are rentals. It's just all over them.
Right.
I mean, even in that, that Green Hornet, I knew that was going to be shit, just like you guys did. Except for saying.
And me.
Liar.
I didn't think, no, I thought it was going to be all right.
God, Chris.
So anyway, I
look what you've done.
It was rentals.
Look what you've done to my eyes. You did that to me and my wife.
You've been Roganized.
What about the dilemma? Talk about money there. What are they doing?
Let's see what the.
I love box office. I love tracking the box office. I don't know why.
It tells you. Well, yeah, it tells you what people are going to see, or what they're being fooled into going to see.
Yeah, no, really. And then I love the drop off and the change in percentage and week to week.
Do you like the back end too?
Like the back end. I've monitored their back end. I really do look at that when I get Entertainment Weekly. It's like out on DVD. What is everybody doing?
Yeah,
I really do. Foreign release. What are they doing? What are they doing overseas on this one?
What's the India numbers?
You get me excited about that. What am I looking? I think the dilemma.
Sounds complicated.
$21 million over the whole, because it's a holiday weekend.
Yeah,
so these movies
so
have
three
an
days.
Advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
They got a 3-day weekend. So it did $21 million.
Well,
which that
I think is a disappointment for them. It's got to be. Because,
well, here's the thing about now the dilemma, if an independent filmmaker made that movie, that would be a $5 million movie.
Of course.
And now, but with, well, you've got big bloated Hollywood actors and salaries, that movie probably cost 40 to 60. I wouldn't even be surprised if it was that high.
Oh, yeah.
Now, speaking of which, I just auditioned for the Three Stooges.
Nice.
Which role?
They wanted me to be a Mo.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't want to go in at all, but I will. Because you're just going to end up getting, you know, who are they going to get? You know, they're going to get Jack Black and, you know, somebody to play.
Didn't they already cast Benicio Del Toro in one of these?
Jim Carrey. They all fell out. All the casting's been a
but this is my point
thing.
Of your $5 million theory is they could save $50 million because they were talking about George Clooney, Jim Carrey, and Sean Penn to play the Stooges. Uh-huh. And that's $50 million.
Sure, right there. Yeah.
I've said this before.
They bring in all their own producers, their punch-up writers. They bring in, like, you know, staff with them.
And I don't get it, because if you were to do cast people that aren't that know, because it's like we need the big Johnny box office draw guy. That's not the true anymore. Like the business model
the
has
model's
changed.
Changing.
It's changing so much, and they don't understand that. Like you could make a movie for $5 to $10 million with quote unquote unknowns that were really talented and good. But if the look again, we've talked about it a bunch on this show. The Hangover at the time, it was.
Those were unknowns.
Unknowns.
Yes.
The guy from The Office and that other good looking guy and then the beard guy, comedian.
From
dude.
His VH1 talk show.
Yeah, like exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of.
Sure. No, they had been in things and they were all proven actors, but I'm sure it took some convincing on a studio end to make sure that those guys got in there.
And here's the thing, you don't even have to convince the studios anymore. You just have to convince the hedge funds. I mean, Legendary, whoever's putting up the money anymore. The studios are just distributing anymore.
And honestly, like that. That premise, that trailer for The Hangover went, I was like, I'm on board, man. And because of like everyone's on the internet and watching clips and all this stuff like that, if it looks interesting, people will go see it. Like they don't have to go because, oh, John Travolta is in it or whatever. Like it just drives me
nuts. Those days are over. I mean, Tom Cruise has actually proven that last year.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, we're going to get to that. So
yes,
the Golden Globes.
We'll let's let's go right to Golden Globes.
You want
to
do?
Well, let's just real quick. I mean, we talked. None of us saw Barney's version, and I'm going to see this, and I know I will like it more than Green Hornet. And Country Strong.
Country
Strong I have not seen, but I
keep putting it on the list because, God damn it, one of us is going to see that movie.
One of us has got to see it, and here's why I want to see it, is one of our fans of the show, Alyssa. Rowinski, who's married to my friend Micah, and she told me how ridiculous this movie is that it's worth seeing. Like, it's so preposterous.
They pitched it by saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do female crazy heart.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. And they.
Yeah. That just
and then the pause.
Sold. Yeah. The guy walked out.
The pause. Yeah.
Let that sink in.
When Paul Thoreau's agent walked out after he said that.
Do people like Carrie Underwood? I think they do. All right. And they're going to love Gwyneth Paltrow as a female country singer.
I love this Hollywood pitch character that you're doing. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into Golden Globes. Because, Al, you watched it.
I watched it. And I watched Ricky Gervais do, I think I came in a minute or two late on his opening monologue, but he was taking a lot of shots. He took a big shot. Scientologist Tom Cruise.
He made a Scientology joke.
Yes.
How'd it go?
And
over?
It went over. I mean, people are laughing. And then Robert De Niro was receiving the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. So he's right front and center. Mm-hmm. So they got plenty of camera shots straight to him cracking up. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like he was doing very, very well. And I found it very funny. Mm-hmm. But
I think Ricky Gervais is hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, and always great. The Golden Globes is a great mix between TV people and Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. You know, it's like here you have the people from fucking. That's seventh banana on Glee sitting with a shot.
Seventh banana on Glee.
Yeah. And within a, you know, sight line of fucking Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
How that is never going to happen again. It's right there. Yeah. They pass each other. And you can see the film people just really tune out when the TV people come up. I love the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. I think they're very fun to watch. And everybody's drinking.
Oh, they're drunk.
And they totally give the TV people less time too.
Oh,
that's the great thing. It's like
such the kids' table. Like TV really is such the kids' table.
Well, what do they do first? Movies or TV?
They mix them up pretty well. They do. But I mean, still, all the big awards are
the movie ones. I mean,
And then when Jim Parsons for Big Bang Theory can win over Steve Carell, you know, or anybody that's like a legitimate comedy actor that's doing, I mean, not to say that he's not, but I'm just saying you have Steve Carell and people that are going back and forth between TV and movies, and he's obviously just such, I think the gay factor really plays a lot into it. I think people are really,
just the gay mafia.
The gay. Well, I mean, the gay kid from Glee was a winner as supporting actor. Mm-hmm. And then Jim Parsons, I think, who was, I don't think he's out on the show, but I think he might be.
Oh, he's gay.
He won.
Gay really
yeah, he's super, super gay, I think. Yeah.
not just
he
gay.
Won. Yeah, I
like
I just
Glee
think,
gay.
Yeah, he's not Glee gay, but he's pretty gay. he's fairly gay. No, and again, born and raised in San Francisco, I have zero problem with gay. But I think that sometimes it's like I sort of have this bit about how I'm extra nice to black people. Just so they know I'm one of the good guys. And and I think that's true with it's just a little bit of positive, you know, affirmative action going on with the gays.
Right. And they, you know, I mean, and part of it's okay and justified because a lot larger parts of America are very homophobic and they,
sure.
And they don't like, there's people out there that were literally like, you know, what's his name? Ricky Martin's gay? No.
Oh, yeah. Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. Is the other Rosie O'Donnell's
what?
Gay?
What? Yeah. Like, if you ever even worked in show business in the slightest, you have a pretty good gaydar. Like yeah. You can just go, oh, that guy's gay. You can just immediately, Jim Parsons, sure, he's very funny and he's gay.
Yeah, I was looking through the notes because you guys were so nice. Did Jane Lynch win? Oh, see, and this is another thing.
Oh, this is just, we just did movies.
All do movies. Yeah, why?
This is we're not. Talking about just comedy.
Film nerds, not comedy TV nerds. But I was thinking that Jane Lynch maybe won as well. And there's mm-hmm. another, she's gay.
So let's get into the movie categories. Yeah, sorry, guys. And what was your take on that?
Best Motion Picture.
Social Network.
Yes.
And I get that. I think so, too. Yeah, and I think that totally works for me. The Fighter I could have seen, I didn't, and The King's Speech. I mean, I think this is a tough category.
You could even name it, call it a legitimate category.
Totally legitimate category. And I think with the exception of Inception, I don't think I could see any of those films winning. So I think it is going to be a toss-up when you go towards the Oscars.
And, I think Social Network. I mean, I think this.
I think it's going to sweep too.
I think it's going to sweep too. I mean, it did. It kind of, you know, it didn't sweep entirely at the Golden Globes, but I think it will sweep the Oscars.
Now I was a little bit when I saw The Kids Are All Right come out, mm-hmm. I immediately dismissed that as sort of relationship crap.
Right.
That I would never go see. It's like, oh, look at that crap. I'm not going to go see that shit. Driving by, seeing the billboards, but just know. Did incredibly well last night. It did.
And that, the other thing, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when the nominations came out. How is that even in? I mean, this musical and comedy category is insane.
This is strange because
Kids Are All Right, Alice in Wonderland, Burlesque.
Burlesque is a laughable piece of shit, right? I mean, it's just.
But it's a musical.
But it's a musical. So then you have. So
and
that.
Red Burlesque. And The Tourist are musicals or comedies.
Comedies. The Tourist is supposed to be a comedy.
I saw it. It's not a comedy.
No. Yeah.
There's parts in it where it tries to be wacky, but it's not a comedy.
Well, we talked about this before at the end of the year. It's like half these movies were in there just to get Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp to the Golden Globes.
Yeah, just to invite them. Yeah, exactly.
Because if you look at these, you know, a lot of the other nominees that make no sense, oh, they either have Angelina Jolie or Johnny Depp in them. Oh,
okay. All right, so then going down to, so your best motion picture, musical or comedy, Kids Are All Right, did not see that coming, but then look what it's up against.
Right.
It's up against TV, and you have drama in this category. We're talking about Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, King's Speech, all high-quality films. Yeah.
Yes.
Musical or comedy category, shit.
It's ridiculous.
Shit.
Yes, it is.
It goes beyond shit.
It's a ridiculous category.
It's a category that these don't even qualify for that category.
Yeah. Now, what are they going to do when it goes to, you guys know this better than I do, when you go to Academy Awards, what is going to happen to films in this category? This category doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't
right,
exist.
It doesn't exist.
So this is not a non-issue.
It doesn't even come up. I mean, there might be somebody trying to get The Kids Are All Right in Best Motion Picture, because they're really pushing this movie hard.
Sure.
And it's a decent film, but it just fell flat in a couple areas.
It's an archaic, outdated category. I mean, either do a comedy or a musical, but the problem is there aren't enough musicals per year to have its own separate category. So, I mean, it's obvious what to do. Just make it a comedy category and ignore musicals from now on.
And they've been talking about this for years. I wish they would add a comedy category for the Oscars.
Or do comedy and or drama.
Right.
Have one category. I mean, if you're going to fuck it up that much, just make it Best Picture, drama, or comedy.
Well, yeah, because the Oscars have always sort of shunned comedies. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. even now that they've expanded it to 10 nominations... Right. For Best Picture, there's plenty of comedies that are very good movies.
You very rarely see them.
But they won't. If they instantly, no matter how well made a comedy is, they'll go, oh, it's a comedy. Like, it's a birthday clown. He's not really an opera singer. You know what I mean? Like, they just write it off. And it's like.
They always have that moment where they have their comedians come out. What's that? I'm sorry.
Unless it's Pagliacci.
Yeah.
It's a birthday clown who's an opera singer.
Yeah.
I just say they always have their Ben Stiller last year will always come out for his bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Steve Carell and you know, Jon Stewart will come out for their bit.
Yeah.
So they'll always have a little chunk for the comic relief inside the Academy Awards
ceremony.
They won't
give them nominations.
But their nominations won't be there. And their host will always be comedic.
Sure.
But, yeah, never, never nominated.
They anchor the whole show on a comedian.
Yeah.
But they won't have a comedy category.
It's fucked up. So then best performance by an actor in a motion picture drama. Colin Firth is the winner there for The King's Speech. Now, what did you guys...
I mean, honestly, I think... Every nomination in there could have won. I think they're all solid actors. You've got Colin Firth for King's Speech, did a great job. Jesse Eisenberg, Social Network, great job. James Franco, I didn't see it because I'm squeamish, but I heard he does a great job, and I know he's a good actor.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling, Blue Valentine.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't a huge fan of that movie, but I acknowledge the fact that he's a good actor.
He did a really good
And Mark
job.
Wahlberg for The Fighter. That's a solid category.
Sure.
That's a solid category. And I really, Colin Firth in The King's Speech, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, I would give it to him. That's going to be a tough one to call for the Oscars.
I think you're going to continue to see Mark Wahlberg nominated. He's going to be one of those guys that's going to go a lifetime Ofer.
Really?
Yep. Lifetime.
It's going to be the Susan Lucci.
Susan Lucci of any award ceremony. Just because no one's going to be able to shed that image of fucking, come on, come on. Feel it, feel it.
Oh, Donnie D on the backup. Drug free sip with the crack up. Golden lyrics. No, I think you're right. I think that's going to be he's going to have a hard time ever getting around that.
Yeah, he didn't know what he was doing at the time. It seemed cool. It seemed like his brothers and
we
new
all
kids.
Did some
yeah.
dumb things. We
yeah.
just didn't happen to be videotaped in a boy band.
Yeah. Anyway, and then Natalie Portman shows up for the next category in Best Performance by an Actress, and she's visibly pregnant because. The guy who's the choreographer for the Black Swan put a baby in her.
That sounds like it's storage.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
could you hold on to this baby?
Hold on to this. I'll be right back.
Oh, I got some baby gravy I wanted to. All right. Yeah, I mean, again, that's a good category because it's Halle Berry, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Lawrence, and Winner's Bone, who, honestly, I cannot say this enough. It's a small movie. It didn't get a wide release, but
on DVD.
It
now,
is on DVD.
It?
Yeah, then watch Winner's Bone. It's okay. An excellent movie.
Gotta
a bunch
it.
Of no-name actors in there. Couple of character actors you kind of recognize, but no big names. Solid, solid movie.
Great.
All right. Barney's Version, which we just talked about, he won for best actor in a musical or comedy.
Well, again, look at the competition. Actors that weren't in musicals or comedies.
Two Johnny Depps, The Tourist and Alice in Wonderland.
See, that's got to be tough to have two votes. Or two
votes of no confidence.
Yeah.
God, they just really wanted to get him over here from Europe.
Yeah,
they just
that's all it was.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, if we put him in every category, maybe he'll show up.
Yeah, just send the plane and hopefully he'll be on it. all right, so what? Any, and then what was the best actress? Annette Bening. The kids are all
kids
right.
are all right. Yeah. That was the one. That's why they sort of they did some good work over there. I think there's another one win by them somewhere else. Let's see.
Well, both actresses were nominated for best actress in motion picture of a musical or comedy. Julianne Moore.
Sure, and again, just a sort of bunk category. So, and then supporting roles: Christian Bale, which I think is just. You know, give me big applause break for Michael Douglas, who came out at the end of the Golden Globes. Just, I mean, everyone's standing because he's just recovering from cancer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his opening line was, God, there's got to be an easier way to get a standing ovation. Which is great. That was a great line. And Melissa, I don't know this one. I don't. Melissa Leo is the mom in The Fighter.
Right, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She is that. I mean, the whole cast of The Fighter is great. I mean, and you're right. I think you're right. Like the Mark Wahlberg thing. I mean, Christian Bale wins, Melissa Leo wins, Mark Wahlberg doesn't.
No.
But he does a great job. I think he does a great job in that film.
And Christian Bale actually addressed it when he was on stage. He said. I've done so many movies where I've been nominated just because I was sort of the straight man in all of this, and that's what Mark Wahlberg was. He was the straight guy. So thank you. He said, thank you for being the straight man or something to that effect so I could get this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he acknowledged that.
I think Oscars for best supporting actor will be Jeffrey Rush and Christian Bale. I think they'll be the two.
Yeah,
With the exception of, unless they figure out True Grit, that Jeff Bridges was actually supporting actor in that
movie. Yeah, I know.
If they figure that out, then he should be in there.
Black Swan, Mila Kunis has a little bit of the Mark Wahlberg syndrome. It's like, oh, chick from that 70s show?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, wacky sitcom actress.
Boom, yep. See you later. Shut down. Yeah. You go back to the Golden Globes. Yeah, the upper tier table where you belong. Yeah, but she's, I mean, if anybody in Hollywood, just really quick, me and my wife were talking about this, is just killing it. It's Mila Kunis.
She's doing a great job. Yeah. I mean, she...
Family Guy, that 70s show, alone, retired, go away for the rest of your life, Private Island.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now, The Book of Eli.
Which was not a good movie, but she did a good job in it. Yes, yes. She did an excellent job in it.
I do like some of the fighting scenes. See, I'll go to a movie...
There's some great stuff in Book of Eli. The
ninja
beginning is
assassin,
amazing.
You know, any sort of ninja... ninja assassin. And, any sort of, you got a sword.
The one I missed that you saw that I wanted to see, the Wild West ninja movie. Did you see that
Warrior's Way. That's a great.
I did see Warrior's Way. Oh, we were talking about that
in
Vegas.
Yes, yes.
I went to go see that in Vegas while we were there. Yeah,
there's some ridiculous stuff in it, but it's great. It's fun just fighting.
Love. And you give somebody a ninja sword and a little bit of a backstory. And I'm all over it. Yeah, I love that shit.
Throwing stars?
A little bit of a backstory.
Yeah, you know, not even too much. Yeah, I don't even know where what happened.
Somebody killed his father.
Yeah,
maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Sword.
Yeah, sword.
Fight. Sharpen it.
Rival schools. That's all I need to know.
All right. Done. Yeah. So anyway, Book of Eli, silhouette, black man with a sword fighting under an overpass, Holocaust. Yeah. Sort of apocalypse situation. Yeah, yeah. I'm good.
Crash right. plane in the desert.
Great.
Sounds good.
Happy man. All right. So then.
Best director, David Fincher.
This is going to be a tough category, too. They're all actually good.
Solid. This is a solid category.
This wasn't one of their fake categories.
No, this is David Fincher, Darren Aronofsky, Tom Hooper, Christopher Nolan, David Orr. The Golden Globes is like this. It's like if you, because it gets things so right and then miss. It's like if you went to somebody's house for a dinner party and they had a really nice house, very decorated well, and they had this amazing home-cooked meal, and then they served you boxed wine. You know what I mean? It's like, it would be like, that's what the Golden Globes are. Like, wow, they really got this category great.
Filet mignon and chicken nuggets.
Yeah, exactly, Like, really, you're going to go with, okay. So you braised the salmon and then you bought French fries at McDonald's. Yeah. That's how you're going to serve this meal.
Best director, you could make a very good case for Christopher Nolan in this category. Did he win for Batman? No.
Dark Knight got shunned.
Dark Knight really got shut down. So
it was such a great.
There's a little bit of buildup there. When
could
you put
be,
out something
be.
Like Dark Knight. And then you get shut down, and then you put out an Inception.
So you think Nolan might actually
Nolan
win for
might
the,
be a sleeper, yeah.
Oh, I
could
like
be,
that.
Could be, good like prediction.
You know, really the Justin Timberlake factor, also for me in Social Network, is a deal breaker.
really?
Yeah.
Why is that a deal breaker?
It's it. What we were talking about, Mila Kunis and with Marky Mark. It's... see a little curly fro thing going that I was like, no, just stay away. I can't, as an actor, it's hard for me to take him seriously. And so this is going to be a legitimate film with Justin Timberlake in it. No, it's not. I liked it. I watched it, but
it was no Alpha Dog.
Yeah, exactly. You can go Alpha Dog to being nominated. It just totally doesn't, it delegitimizes the whole thing. All right.
That's tremendous. All right. Best screenplay. Yeah. Aaron Sorkin is kind of like.
See, I think you give him that. Mm-hmm. But they don't
differentiate between adapted or original,
do they? They just do best screenplay.
Okay.
Best original song? Wow. I don't care about that category.
No. That's all right. I think we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
Animated Toy Story. This is where the people with kids jump in.
Yeah, see, wait, that's down here. Yeah, animated. Yeah, Toy Story 3 is going to win. Despicable Me, we talked about that. Did not like that movie. How to Train Your Dragon, great. Tangled, very good. And Illusionist, haven't seen yet because it was playing in like one theater in Los Angeles.
Speaking of shout-outs real quick, Tangled, my friend Carlos made Tangled, created all the characters.
Carlos Rocky?
No, not Carlos House Rocky. Maybe do a side voice or something, but not fucking create it. No, Carlos Cabral. I'm probably saying that name. Our kids went to school together. Anyway, he and Paul F. Tompkins played a side character in that. Mm-hmm. He was in that. Yep.
Well, let's. That was our. That was. That was a nice shout out. That was a nice.
That
little,
was a good shout out.
People.
I know names. Yeah. So that was the Golden Globes, which you know, a nice little aperitif before the Oscars.
Couple jabs back at Ricky Gervais that came throughout. Steve Carell had something because Steve Carell and Tina Fey came up, and Ricky Gervais, you know, Steve Carell's leaving The Office,
right?
So Ricky Gervais is obviously he's like, hey, this next comedian is killing the cash cow that has met us so well, and Steve Carell just didn't say anything, and he goes, yeah. That never gets old. And obviously, it just was beating him up about it. So there was a couple jabs back. And Robert Downey Jr. was very funny. So if you're going to look up anything, I'd look up Ricky Gervais' monologue. Mm-hmm. Then I'd look at the Natalie Portman laugh. I do, there's a really dorky Natalie Portman laugh. And there she goes,
like on stage. Somebody must have sampled that and made that into a song.
That's got to
be online.
Yeah, and she does talk about the baby and love and, you know, my mom and, you know, creating life and shit like that. So she was a horrible speech and with a really dorky laugh, but she's beautiful.
See what happens when you put a baby in her? She gets all crazy.
Yeah, she gets all goofy.
When she gets mouthy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Not really mouthy. She just can't make a speech correctly. Yeah, she gets mouthy. You're barefoot and pregnant, young lady. Stop talking. She gets mouthy.
She was perfectly polite and well-mannered, knew when to her place prior to the baby.
A little yappy. Yeah, a little yappy after the baby comes in.
About a week and a half being fucking pregnant and out there and showing. Here comes the lip.
You guys are married. Your wives have had children. Did your wives get a little mouthy?
My wife started mouthy.
Yeah.
She was just
there wasn't
never
much of a change. Yeah.
She has always been consistently mouthy.
Consistently. All right, we got to move on here.
We'll do DVDs. This the Matt Dillon movie's finally coming on DVD. Takers.
This is hilarious that you put in quote in parentheses Matt Dillon bank heist.
Yeah, because who's going to remember what it was?
It is so you should have put out black film. This is a black movie. Matt Dillon has a smaller role in that movie, right?
Not according to the trailer.
Yeah, I know.
But that
it's like when they were plugging John Saxton for Enter the Dragon. You know what I mean? Oh. It was like starring John Saxton and maybe Bruce Lee might be in it. Oh, really? What is Bruce
do? I think that's mostly black guys in that.
I saw the movie. It's you know, as a DVD, it's a fine little rental. It's a heist movie.
Well, now wait. Let's see. Is Al correct? Is it mostly black guys in the movie?
Yeah, it is. It is predominantly black dudes. But
so Matt Dillon's not in it that much?
No, he's in it.
Oh, this is the one I'm thinking. I might be thinking of a different movie. This is when they're actually
you're thinking
secured.
Of Dead Presidents.
I'm thinking of, Dead Presidents. You're right. That came out in 1993.
It was a Hughes Brothers movie.
This is
right?
Yes, it is a Hughes Brothers movie. I was thinking of this is the there's security guards. They're the actual armored transport guards.
Yeah, they're heisting the armored transport movie. Mm-hmm.
There's another movie with all black guys, and I'm thinking of that.
Wow.
There's another.
That was the Jeffersons. I don't know that Matt Dillon was on
car wash. Wait, what are you saying?
No, there's. I'm getting it confused with. I'm gonna have to have access
to that
MacBook.
Later on. See what happens when the intern's not here.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing we
got to do. Our own searches.
Next movie, Animal Kingdom.
I heard this movie's great. I haven't seen it yet.
Awesome, and I don't even think she got any nominations.
There was a nomination. Animal Kingdom was nominated for something.
What? Where was that? Oh yeah, Jackie Weaver. Is best support. She got a best supporting actress in the Golden Globes, and God, I hope she gets one for the Oscars, and I hope she wins because she. I mean, there's a lot of good actresses this year in the supporting role. She is so good, and again, it's made in Australia, so it's a bunch of Australian actors I'm not familiar with. They might be famous there.
Is it eligible for best foreign film?
God, I hope so. I hope so because it's a crime drama, but. In Australia, so it's a different take. It's something we're not used to as Americans.
It has kangaroos.
Movie. There's kangaroos. There's dingoes eating babies, and it's insane. No, it's a great film. Like I cannot talk about this movie enough. Like it's so good, and she's so great. She's teeny, but just this. Oh, I'm a nice mom that's in charge of a crime family. So don't screw up. Like, you won't get a timeout. I'll just have you put down. You know, like, she's great. I mean, I cannot say enough about this movie. It had such a limited release, so it was hard to find.
Right.
But now that it's on DVD, seriously, watch it.
Get it.
And the next movie is Stone. This is the Robert De Niro, Ed Norton movie, where Ed Norton is in prison and he gets his hot wife to seduce De Niro to help let him out.
Did not see
which
it.
Is the wife is actually Mila Jovovich.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Did not get good reviews. I haven't seen it. Very limited release.
When they did that heist movie with Marlon Brando that took place in Montreal, Ed Norton and Robert De Niro. I forget the name of that, but that was a good movie. They did well together in that. So that would make me think that this has a shot, but I don't know.
Right.
De Niro is sometimes he's really great and sometimes he just phones it in now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anybody who saw this movie.
Well, if you've seen it, put it on our message boards and let us know if you liked it.
And opening this week, boy, it's really a mixed bag here. First, No Strings Attached.
No interest.
Yeah, no. None at all. None at all.
This is a movie I'm probably going to watch on a plane
I hope
32 minutes in, take my headphones off and go, oh, come on.
I hope, you know, like, I hope Natalie Portman's not going to get Katherine Heigl'd.
Oh, man.
I really hope this is...
I like Natalie Portman
a lot. Just do this one. Okay, I understand you want to try
she's
it.
She's done so much legitimate work that she can throw one of these in, no
exactly.
problem.
Exactly. Yes. So she can throw one of them in, but she can't pull a Nicolas Cage where you just make one after the other.
Yeah, and then she gets weird hair implants and cheekbones, and she's freaking out. She's already mouthy. We already know that. She's shooting her mouth.
Just laugh.
The Company Men looks fantastic.
Looks so
can't
great.
Wait to see this.
That's one of my screeners. I have that.
It looks.
Oh, you do? Yeah, did you see it yet?
Not yet. Oh. Well, we have to download them, and it took a while.
Because this is a Black movie. They think they just downloading is tough.
Yeah, I do it at night.
It's tough. I'd have to push a button and then come back in 2 hours.
Yeah. I'm so pumped to see this movie because they did a limited release to get Oscar consideration, and now it's going wide. So I think it's going to be really good. And Ben Affleck is this new version of this guy.
Ben Affleck 2.0.
I'm so on board with it, man.
Yeah.
The town.
Much better.
This business, make it happen, kid.
Yeah. And The Way Back, an indie movie, Colin Farrell is a walk out of a Siberian gulag, 4,000 miles to freedom in India. It's some prisoners. So I don't know. I didn't hear much about this movie
yet. I saw a trailer for this, and it actually looks very interesting.
I love Siberian prisoner escape. Any sort of prison escape is just like my ninja backstory thing.
You're on board.
Prison? Getting out of there?
Yeah.
Let's figure it out.
It's only 4,000 miles.
Let's figure it out. Are you guys going to do this?
Yep.
I'm that way with time travel. Any time travel.
Oh, yeah. I'm all over that, too. Yeah. I got a
time cop?
I saw it. I've seen every like time travel movie out there. Like
Austin Powers, all of them.
Yes, I traveled to Trime to watch them. I said Trime, TRIME.
Well, cool.
That was great. That was it.
Mm-hmm. And that was you guys were really good. Keep me on. I have a tendency to really go off and
actually no, you were doing great.
Okay, great.
You
and then
you were fine.
You kept it on point, sticking to an hour, which is good because it's reasonable for people to listen to that good chunk of. Mm-hmm.
You're pushing it now, though. This talk, we're coming up on minute 57. So, no. So, what do you?
I've got stuff I'm working on. It's pretty exciting. I got a deal with ABC.
Oh, congratulations!
They're making a TV show for me.
The Green Hornet show.
Green Hornet.
With Seth Rogen. ABC's making a show with
you? Al Madrigal show. Yeah.
We'll awesome. Kind of based on your life.
Owned. Yeah, me taking over my parents' family business. We'll see. We turn it into the network. We really don't know if we're going to make it at this point, but the deal is all in place. The groundwork has been laid, so that's exciting.
Great. So you don't know if you're going to shoot a pilot yet. You're waiting to see.
No, yeah, we're waiting to see. I'll know that in like
a week
and a half. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And I go to Ontario Improv at the end of the month, and I'm in Cap City in Austin.
Great club. Cap City's great.
So I'll be there in Super Bowl weekend is 2nd through the 5th of February. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook.
What's your
Al Madrigal, A-L-M-A-D. RIGAL.com.
Nice. Yeah, we were talking websites, and his website, you can buy your CD as a download on
your
site.
Yeah, I have a new album out called Cholos on a Moped. And
you can actually buy your tracks, I saw.
Yeah, you can buy the tracks on my site. Mm-hmm. It's great website through Bandzoogle, but it's all websites for bands. And I put the minimum at $7.99, but you can pay whatever you want. I might lower that because somebody told me they wanted to pay $5. Mm-hmm. I think $7.99 is pretty cheap.
It's probably the guy you choked.
Yeah.
I'm only paying $5 for your album. No, I still can't breathe right.
Well, thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, all our right. guest, Al Madrigal.
Yeah, thanks, Al. And, you know, a couple things coming up. I'll be in Palm Springs next month, I believe the 22nd, 23rd, at the Fantasy Springs Casino. And as always, you can buy Pacify Me, a handbook for the freaked out dad. On the site, I will sign and personalize it for you. But now I want to mention this before Graham mentions it. Now, as you guys know, we've been talking about it. Graham is going to entertain the troops, so there will not be a podcast next week. And just, I know all the fans, I want to say this just on a personal level. Godspeed, good luck, and have a great trip, because we don't want anything to happen to you. I don't want to inherit half of your half of the company. Company's
my,
debt.
My half of the debt?
Of the
you debt, don't want to inherit my half of the Comedy Film Nerd debt? Jesus.
Well, just real
it's
quick.
A good reason to stay alive in Iraq. I mean,
if you know, real quick, you guys, if anything does happen, I'll just absorb the debt, take right over. I really had a good time.
ABC money for
I got
around.
ABC money. And
all
I'll
right, Graham, have
up,
fun.
No problem. Try not to die. No,
problem but, solved. Yeah.
But in all seriousness, Graham, we wish you well and Godspeed on your trip.
Thank you so much. You know, I posted it on Twitter and Facebook that I'm going over there, and got a lot of on Twitter. I got some great. You know, all of your kitten hands are behind you. Have a safe, safe. That's a thing on our show is kitten hands.
And they're all going with you.
They're all going with me. Before I do go there, I will be with Doug Benson on January 18th in Jacksonville, January 19th in Gainesville, and January 20th in Orlando, and then the 21st. If you are at a base in Kuwait or in Iraq, I will be there. So,
or like we said, just a few hours away. Just drive. Make the drive.
Make the drive. Just come on.
And if you see like a roadblock or anything, just go right through it.
Right through it? Yeah.
Don't just even stop. Yeah. Just see what happens.
You see a bag next to the road? Go up to it. Check it out.
Just say palm strike.
Yeah.
And then
palm strike will get you in any base. So, that's the stuff. And I'll be blogging as much as I can. You know, getting to a computer over there is sometimes not easy, but I will be blogging the entire trip. I've already started my first, like, pre-blog if you go to grahamelwood.com. You know, if you order a CD from me that's personally autographed, you won't get it till after the January 31st because I won't be here. But yeah, no episode next week, and then the week after that, I'll be back, which will be February 1st, 2nd, around there.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our guest, Al Madrigal. Thanks for all your positive wishes of me going to Iraq. It'll be my sixth tour in a war zone, which will be cool. So my name's Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening. And as always, Han shot first.